The power of a thankful heart. Before I even get into it, I just have one question. Is there any thankful people in the house of the Lord on today? I mean, he woke us up this morning, started us on our way. We've got the activity of our limbs. The blood is running warm in our veins. Just the fact that we're here is a reason to be thankful. Amen. See, gratitude is one of the healthiest expressions of a believer's heart. Because when you have gratitude, it heals our perspectives, it strengthens our faith, it helps to keep our emotions in check. And while gratitude does not deny challenges, it just reminds us that God is greater than any challenge that we face. Can I get up? So what it really does is it shifts our focus from what is missing to what God has already done. We don't so much focus on, man, I wish I had this, and why hadn't this gone through, and why did... No, what we do is we focus on the goodness of God and all the things that he has already done, and we understand that he's the same God. So if he did it before, he'll do it again. He's the same God right now, the same God back then. So we have faith and the faithfulness of God, and it is my gratitude that thanks God for all that he's done and gives me faith that he's going to continue to do things in my life. Does that make sense? So when a believer chooses gratitude, they're really choosing joy. They're choosing trust in God. They're choosing to see life through the lens of God's goodness in our life. Because if we really stop and just think about it, you might not have every single little thing that you want, but if you're honest, God has been good. Does that mean he has really, really, really been good? And so a grateful believer is a strong believer. You got it. A grateful believer gives God praise in spite of. A grateful believer lifts their hands when they don't feel like lifting their hands. A grateful believer leaps for joy when they don't feel like leaping for joy, because they understand that their gratitude turned into praise will cause God's hand to move in my life. A grateful believer is a peaceful believer. Because I'm so grateful and because I have gratitude, if you want to go off, go off. I'm not going off with you. God is too good for me to go off. I'm not clapping back on Facebook. I'm not going up somebody's head. Hello, somebody. No, I choose to have a peaceful attitude, because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews to follow peace with all men and holiness, for without no man shall see the Lord. It is the peaceful attitude that gives me a clear picture of who God is and what he's doing in my life. Falling out with people affects how I see God. So for no other reason than to have a clear picture of who God is and what he's doing in my life, I have chosen to get along with everybody. Does that make sense? Yeah, I'm not fighting with it. And you got to get to the point, you know, we're getting too old to be fighting with folks. Come on, somebody. We're getting too old to be, you know, go, I'm going, you, I got something for you. I'm going to the car. No, we're getting too old for that. You got it? No, now we've got, if you tell me 2 + 2 = 17, praise the Lord. You understand? Like I made it up in my mind that I'm going to have a peaceful attitude and a peaceful heart so I can see what God is doing in my life. A grateful believer is a growing believer, because a person that has gratitude understands they didn't get to where they are by themselves, that they're standing on the shoulders of others who have helped them, who have pushed them, who have prayed for them, who have supported them, and they have this desire to keep growing and to keep learning so that they can be the best that they can be as they continue to turn more and more into the image of Christ. A grateful believer is a victorious believer, because see, a grateful believer understands that if God is for me, he's more than the whole world against me. A grateful believer understands that because God is on my side, I cannot fail. So therefore, I don't get in fear. I don't get in worry. I don't get in anxiety, because the God of the universe is my daddy. He's always taking care of me, and he's always going to take care of me. The writer says, and thanks be unto God, who not sometimes, but always, who not sometimes, but always causes us to triumph in Christ. So you got it. You can't forget the in Christ part. If I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results in my life. All right. Okay. So that was all my introduction. How many points do y'all think I have for you today?
Three.
You already know. All right. I'm a 3-point preacher in the context of this lesson. No, it's not that I couldn't give you 6, 7, or 8, but I understand the attention span of a person. You understand? And I want to make sure that when you walk out of here, you remember what I said on Sunday, on Tuesday, and on Thursday. Praise the Lord. All right. So real strong, everybody say number 1.
Number 1.
A thankful heart recognizes God as the source. A thankful heart recognizes God as the source. James 1 and 17, the first part of verse 17, part A, says every good and perfect gift is from above. It comes from the Father above. Some say the Father of lights or the Father who made the lights in heaven, depending on what translation. But we know that every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes from our Heavenly Father. And we understand that gratitude understands that when good things happen, I don't give the glory to myself, I give the glory to God. It understands that when good things happen, I realize that if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, there's no telling where I'd be. So I don't get caught up in being proud and being arrogant and thinking I'm better than somebody. You understand? I'm just thankful that God is doing what he's doing in my life, and it is my gratitude that is going to keep God doing what he's doing in my life, because I understand that he is the source. That he's the source of my strength, that he's the source of my life, that he's the source of my joy, that he's the source of my healing, that he's the source of my peace, that he is the source of my increase. So now that I understand he is the source, I understand the importance of having gratitude and staying connected to the source. Yeah. Does that make sense? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. I want you to read this and really get an understanding of this scripture. What on the count of three, I just want you to give me those first two words. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. It says, in everything, do what, class? He says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, right? Do you notice he says in everything and not for everything? So you might be going through a hard time, a tough season, something crazy might happen, and the Bible doesn't say for everything. So I don't go to say, God, I thank you for this hard time that I'm going through. No, but Father, I thank you that even in this hard time, I see your hand at work in my life, and you're the same God that has got me through things before. So even in this, you're going to get me through that. Does that make sense? So he didn't say for everything give thanks, because there's some things I ain't giving thanks for it. But in everything, I thank you, Father, that you will always get me through. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because he knew that his source was with him. And so it's proper to show gratitude to God, not sometimes, but how many know we should show gratitude to God all the time? Right, but I mean, you know, and he does things for us every day, and it starts the moment that you wake up. You got it. Now, I'm going to tell on lady. She don't mind. You got it, because we tell all of our business. There was one night, she was kind of tired, and we were going to bed, and I knew what she was saying, but I had to pick on her, right? And so we had a lot to do. We were very busy. We always got stuff going on, as you can imagine, and there was a lot to do. And she said something like, Lord, I got to wake up in the morning. I said, well, that's the plan, baby. When I go to sleep at night, you got it. I pray for me and Lady and Jay and Hannah. You got it. That you give us a good night's rest. You got it. I curse any incident, accident, hurt, harm, danger, death, or destruction. Right? I say you give your beloved sweet sleep, that we sleep, that we're safe. You got it, and that we wake up refreshed, ready to go in the morning. So when she's like, Lord, I gotta wake up, and I knew what she meant. Like she had to get up early because she had a lot of stuff to do. Like that was not a morning she could sleep in. You got it. But it was just that. Inner thing on the inside of me that had to just give her that nudge. Said, well, that is what the plan is. You understand? You got it. All right. You gonna wake up. You understand? Because if I get up, if I got to raise you from the dead, we in this thing together. Lady and I always gonna be together. You got it. We always gonna roll together. You know. Years ago, they used to have I'm showing my age now, this commercial, fruit and fiber. You can't have one without the other. That's me and Lady. You can't have one without the other. She get mad at me and go packing up her bag. No problem. I'm gonna go pack up my bags. She get in the car and lock the door. I got my own car. I'll follow her. You got it? Because divorce is not an option. We're gonna work this thing out. Praise the Lord. So we have so much to give thanks to God for. Let me bring it into natural terms. Imagine you doing something for somebody because God says, hey, I want you to do this for somebody. And you're like, ooh, that's a little more than I thought. But you are obedient because you're a giver and you do it and you go out of your way and you do it for the person. Right. And you're not really expecting anything back from them because you know God is the one that returns. But a simple thank you would probably work out. But imagine you doing all of this, going out of your way. Just let's say you spend $1,000 on stuff, blessing them, and then they say, okay. Yeah, right. All you wanted was a simple thank you, right? All you want was a simple thing. Imagine God doing things for us day in and day out, moment in and moment out, and us not stopping and giving God thanks. Does that make sense? Can I get a little further? Can I go a little further? Not only should we give thanks, but we should understand that gratitude reciprocates, right? That gratitude, according to the word of God, responds. David says in Psalms 116 and 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for his goodness towards me or for his benefits towards me? Depends on, that's NIV, that's KJV, his benefits. So, but what shall I render unto the Lord for everything that he's done for me? In other words, David was saying, God, you have done so much for me. What can I do for you? And that's the attitude of gratitude, that it's more than a phrase, it's a response. Come on, somebody. It is more than a word, it's a way of life. It is more than appreciation, it is participation of thanksgiving to honor God for everything that he's done for you. See, David understood that real gratitude reciprocates, like real gratitude will lead you to do something, even though something might not necessarily be required. You understand? You know, it leads you to offer something. When it comes to us and God, and even in the house of God, you know, gratitude, it leads us to obey. Gratitude, it leads us to lift our hands during worship. You got it? Because we're just thankful. It leads us to serve in the kids ministry or on the parking lot or on the camera, right? Because we have gratitude. It leads us to live our life differently. Why? Because God has been so incredibly good to us. Imagine God giving you an amazing job, the job of your dreams, and gives you the strength every day, gives you promotion, but every time you get paid, you never give him the first or the tithe off the increase. You prayed for that job, he gave it to you. And even after you got there, you didn't like something and he fixed it. You got it. And then you didn't like something else and he fixed that. So he's done everything that you asked him to do. And now that you got this big increase, I got to hold on because you just never know what might happen. You got it. But one thing I've taught you is that grateful people are generous givers. You know, it's amazing that Lady LaConte and I, we are extremely generous, and people talk about that all the time, and I like to downplay that on purpose because, you know, the only reason I'm giving is not to be seen. I'm giving because I'm grateful. Does that make sense? I'm grateful to God for my life. I'm grateful to God that I have an amazing marriage. I'm grateful to God that I have two children who are adults who are doing really, really good. They're serving God. That alone, you understand, is a lot to give God praise for. I'm grateful that you know, for you and for this ministry and for the anointing that God has placed on my life. I look at my life every day, and Lady would tell you, and my staff would tell you, and people would tell you, I'm just like, man, God is just good. You understand? I was in the room in my office a second ago, and I think it was just me and Ben. He was talking about something else, and I just jumped up. God is good. And Ben, he's switching. Yes, he is. You understand? Why? Because I have gratitude. And so, you know, years ago when I got Cash App, I didn't get Cash App because I'm trying to get somebody to give something to me. I realized that's a form of electronic giving, that I can be a blessing here and here and here. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so grateful people are generous givers. Now, for the turkey giveaway, I handle up on the front with cars coming in, cars going out. Me and Shelton and Imes and Mickey are at the front, and then Ben and Larry and Cameron and Mitch and we're over here, and we make sure that the flow of traffic goes the right way along with the officers and those kind of things. And it is amazing. They'll tell you, and some of the ladies that were out there waving will tell you, people kept going by saying, "What is that? The preacher? What's the preacher doing out here?" And they were like, "Well, yeah, obviously you don't know my pastor, because my pastor is like this. He gonna get in the thick of what's going on." You got it? Because number one, you lead by example. I was amazed when I first came to New Bern and we had our first big a family fun day, and then we had all this food and everything, and there were certain things that we had, and they're like, "Well, can we eat that?" We're like, "Yeah, you can eat that." And they're like, "Oh, okay. Well, what's for just for the pastor?" We said, "No, it's for everybody." You got it. You know, we all eat. We all going to eat together. You know. You know, I was somewhere recently, and they were making a big deal about making sure I went before all the people. "Y'all get back. Let the pastor go." And I'm like, no, that ain't me. And, you know, and because I was in their house, you know, when you're Rome, you do like the Romans. So I'm not going to go. But I really didn't like that. And it made me feel uncomfortable because I don't want them feeling bad because they didn't see me stand there. They just trying to get a plate of food. And watch this. all of y'all can go before me because that's what I do at WLCC. On Sundays when we got 700-800 people eating, how many know that Pastor eats at the end and Lady eats at the end? Why? Because we're just grateful to God for what he's doing in our life, and grateful people are generous givers. I'm fascinated, though, at how, can I just talk to you as a pastor for a few minutes? I'm fascinated, though, at how we judge people because they have nice things. You got it? We call them greedy, not understanding that the truth is you don't judge greed by what someone has. You judge greed by how they give. Because grateful people are generous. Yet most people who are really blessed are actually big-time givers. So be careful not to get jealous because God is doing something in somebody's life. Be careful not to get so judgmental or easily offended because somebody pulled up in a new car or talked about their new house on Facebook, because the truth is what they've got, God has blessed them with them. And the same God that blessed them is the same God that'll bless you. Because if God is blessing your neighbor, he's in the neighborhood. So the Bible actually says, don't be judgmental, don't get jealous. But the writer actually says, rejoice with those who rejoice. So when you see someone say, man, the Lord has blessed me with a new house, don't go up, don't privately say, they think they something. Go up under and say, well, praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. You understand? You got it. I can't pay the first month of your rent, but you know, I'm gonna make sure I give you a housewarming gift. You know, and learn to be grateful for where you are and watch God take you further, because exposure expands expectations. Everybody repeat after me. Exposure expands expectations. All right, now look at your neighbor and say, he's helping our heart. He's helping our heart. He's helping our heart. Okay, all right? No, because what happens is, if we're not careful, we want God to bless us, but every time we see somebody doing a little bit better than us, we get upset. Not understanding you're not in competition with anybody, and you don't know what they did to get to where they are, so learn to rejoice with those who rejoice. Does that make sense? All right, so exposure expands expectation. Listen to this. When God exposes us to people who have more, it is not to provoke us into jealousy, but to expose to us what is possible for our own lives. You can't become what you haven't seen or heard. Our response determines whether we are postured for increase or whether we are relegated to lack, because exposure expands expectation. Isn't that good? Yeah. And so learn how to, amen, that's a good place to clap. Learn how to rejoice with those who rejoice. Are y'all getting anything out of this? All right, everybody say number two. Number two, a thankful heart invites God's presence and power. A thankful heart invites God's presence and power. A thankful heart always welcomes God's presence, which begins to push away things like anxiety and fear, and begins to open doors to things like peace and prosperity in our lives. Philippians 4 and 6 says, don't worry about what, class? Let's try it again. Philippians 4 and 6 says, don't worry about what, class? Yeah, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about. He says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. He says, this is the ingredients. This is the instructions. He says, if you do this, then you will experience God's peace. When you say then, you got to ask when. When? When you don't worry about anything. When you start praying about everything. When you go to God for what you need and thank him for what he's done. He says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you do what, class? Live in Christ Jesus. So having a thankful heart is one of the simplest acts of obedience, yet one of the most powerful forms of spiritual discipline in our lives. Because every time we give God thanks, we're making sure I'm passing on the glory that is not about me, but it's all about him. You got it? You know, a lot of times when I'm praying, I say, I thank you for the privilege of being your preacher. I understand he could have chose anybody. Does that make sense? And so wherever you are, no matter how good you're doing, and I pray you're doing amazing, I pray that if your goals are here, you've already exceeded them. And if you haven't exceeded your goals, just stay in faith, because he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, right? You know, but I do pray that you are in gratitude every day of your life, whether you've exceeded your goal or not quite at your goal, you still understand that regardless of what's going on in my life, that God is still good. That he's good and that he's worthy to be praised. Amen? All right. So we do this because it invites God's presence and power into our lives and our situation. I love Psalms 100. You know, a little boy growing up in Church of God in Christ, we use this all the time. And when we, you know, when we did it, we did it. You know, we had the music going behind it and the tambourines and people, you know, I mean, and they didn't just say make a joyful, they'd be like, make a joyful noise unto the, you know, they would go into it, right? You know, but I love Psalms 100 because really just listen at what it says. It says, make a joyful shout unto the Lord, all ye lands. Everybody say that means everybody. So when we're worshiping, everybody should be worshiping. When we're praising, everybody should be praising. When we're clapping, we all should be clapping because God is not looking for spectators. He's looking for participators because when you participate in what God is doing in your life, you'll see God results in your life. Does that make sense? That's a good place to clap. Yeah, yeah. He says, come before his presence with, he says, know the Lord, he is. And I'm here to tell you, he is God all by himself. He don't need nobody else, right? It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You belong to Jesus. Nobody can steal you out of his hands, right? Number four says, enter into his gates with and into his courts with. That every time you enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, you are showing gratitude. It doesn't matter if it's coming into this room. It doesn't matter if you're walking into your living room or your bedroom or you get in your car. Every time you think about the goodness of God, every time you want to approach him, you ought to enter with thanksgiving. You ought to enter his courts with praise. All right. He says, be thankful unto him and do what? That's good, but we got to be a little stronger. It says, be thankful unto him and do what?
Bless his name.
For the Lord is
good.
His mercy is
everlasting.
And his truth does what?
Endure.
I love the fact that his truth endures. Because sometimes I make mistakes and sometimes you make mistakes and sometimes we mess up and sometimes we fall short. But I thank God for brand new days with brand new mercies. Even if you feel like, man, I've really messed up today. That's all right. Go to bed. Pray before you go to sleep. Get a good night's sleep. And when you wake up, he's going to give you a brand new day with brand new mercy because that is the kind of God we serve. Right, so his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures not to some but to all generations, amen? So thankfulness is a key that unlocks the door into God's presence so you don't enter with complaints, you enter with gratitude. You notice when Jesus was feeding the 5,000, and you all remember that story, the miracle didn't happen immediately. One of the first things that Jesus did was he held it up and he gave thanks. You know, even when Paul is teaching us how to approach the table for the Lord's Supper, he says he gave thanks instead. He gave thanks, right? It teaches us that before I go to the breakfast table, the lunch table, the dinner table, or if you're just running through Bojangles to get you a Bo-Berry biscuit, you stop and you give God thanks. You got it? You know, and that's a little funny because Bo-Berry biscuit talking about making a nourishment to my body. But anyways, we'll deal with that later, all right? All right? But he gave thanks to the Father, watch this, and what was not enough turned out being more than enough. Because thankfulness turns not enough into more than enough, amen? All right, so we said, number one, we said a thankful heart recognizes God as the source. Number two, we said a thankful heart invites God's presence and power. And our last point, number three, we says a thankful heart shifts your perspective and strengthens your faith. A thankful heart shifts your perspective and it strengthens your faith. Psalms 103 and 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his what?
Benefits.
How many know there are benefits to serving God? There are a lot of benefits to serving God. When I give my life to Jesus, right? Because you have to understand, Jesus paid the sin penalty for you and I. I always tell people, hell is not a place you go to go. Now, heaven and hell are real, all right? But hell is not a place you go because God is mad at you. Hell is just a place you go to pay for your own sins. But why go pay for your own sins when God has already sent his son Jesus, who was the perfect sacrifice, who knew no sin, who became sin, that you and I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and to the degree I will repent of my sins and accept him as the Lord of my life. The sin penalty is now paid. So every time God the Father looks at you, he doesn't see you, but he sees the blood that was shed for you.
Amen.
Does that make sense? Yeah. And so I've got to understand that once I do that, I am now in covenant with God, and there is a lot to that covenant. Salvation was made for us, but not only was salvation made for us, healing was made for us. Not only was healing made for us, provision was made for us. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. It would be pretty funny if I accept what Jesus did for me on the cross for my salvation, and I accept for Jesus what Jesus did on the cross for my healing, but I don't want to accept the provision. He already provided as well. So I don't accept some of it in the covenant. I want it all. Right? So a thankful heart shifts my perspective and it strengthens my faith, because the big truth is my gratitude reminds me of what God has done, which fuels my faith for what I know he's going to continue to do in my life. Because if he did it before,
he'll do it
again.
Same God right now.
You have to have faith in the faithfulness of God. I think this is a good place to go home, Court. Everybody say, why, Pastor?
Why?
Because the moment, you got to catch this, the moment I choose to turn from everything to a thankful heart, it begins to change everything in my life. Because when you have real gratitude, everything don't make you mad. Everything don't aggravate you. Years ago when I was selling ice cream, you know, I was an ice cream man, had my own ice cream truck, and I know it's funny, but boy, I used my faith on that ice cream truck. Do you not know I made thousands of dollars every single week just selling popsicles and Nutty Buddies and stuff? It was supernatural. It was. Because there was a whole lot of ice cream trucks. But I said, Lord, if faith works, I'm going to use faith on this ice cream truck. So I made a confession. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that every time I turn, that you're leading me to the right neighborhoods. And every time I turn into a neighborhood and turn on that little, my little song was, I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here's my handle, here's my spout. Right? I said, Father, I turn. Every time, I said, kids are, they stand in line to buy ice cream from me. And I would make that confession over and over and over. And so what happened was, not overnight, but over time, man, you know, things started working. You know, I started making $800 a week on the ice cream truck. Then I started making $1,400 a week. She wasn't Lady LeConte back then. She was just LeConte, and that's good enough for me. You understand what I'm saying? But she went out with me one day, one time on a Saturday. And we were out all day. In one day, we made like $859 in one day. That's supernatural, selling popsicles on an ice cream truck. And y'all, this was 25 years ago. $850 in one day 25 years ago was pretty good. $850 today is one day is good. I did ask her, I said, babe, you need to come out with me all the time. She said, no, babe, I'm not going to do that. And so what happened is I begin to turn. Everybody say, he's going somewhere. So I begin to turn in the park, in the neighbors, and I lie to you not, kids would be on the corner waiting for me. Parents would come to me, and they would, now I wasn't like against any other truck, because you know that ain't my heart, but they would tell me, other trucks came through, but we knew you were coming today because we know your schedule, so we decided to wait on you. And I don't think that's anything against the other ice cream trucks. I think it was my faith at work. My faith saying that every time I turn into a neighborhood, come on somebody, that they stand in line. Like, you got to learn to use your faith, not just in these four walls, but in every area of your life. And so a thankful heart, you know, and so I was with the ice cream. Every time I go buy ice cream, and I had to buy it all the time because I was selling it all the time. And the guy I bought it for, he was like the most negative person you'd ever met. Everything, he used this word, aggravating. That was his word. You got it? You know, it's so aggravating. You know, every time I watch the news, it's aggravating. Every time I look at the weather, it's aggravating. You got it? The guy didn't come in as aggravating. I almost caught myself using the word aggravating. I said, oh, I got to stop doing that. Because birds of a feather, you become like who you spend time with. And even though I wasn't trying to spend time with them, it was just, you know, that's how that is. And sometimes you have to work with people, you got it, that might be negative. So you have to keep your life covered in prayer so what's on them doesn't get on you, but what's on you gets on them. Okay, we got to go. Everybody say a thankful heart. It changes your atmosphere. It breaks the spirit of heaviness. Strengthens my faith. Open doors to God's presence. Releases peace. And the last one, positions me for overflow. So thankfulness is not a holiday, it's a lifestyle. And when you choose gratitude, you experience the power of a thankful heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for the harvest and that none of the harvest is lost in Jesus' name. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, maybe you're in the room and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 9 that if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, maybe you're in the room and you've never really heard about Jesus. Or maybe you've only heard that, you know, God just wants to send me to hell because I'm doing wrong and all those kinds of things. Let me introduce you to the Father of love. That he loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. That is the Father that I want to introduce to you. Maybe there's some in the room that maybe you just need to rededicate your life to the Lord. And if that's you, I want you to know God is not mad at you and God is not angry with you, and don't listen to people who talk like that. Maybe you're in the room and you're a Christian and you just need to repent. And as Christians, we mess up, we make mistakes, we fall short. Sometimes we do things that we shouldn't do. It's just the reality of us having this carnal nature, living in this carnal body. It just happens. But thank God for 1 John 1 and 9. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So repentance doesn't put us at the back of the line. It just puts us back in line. And so if you're in the room and you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not saved, but I need to be. Or Pastor, that's me. I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. Or you might be saying, Pastor, that's me. I'm a Christian. I do love the Lord, but I lost it. I lost it yesterday or I lost it last week and I need to get it right. I want you to pray this prayer with me, but I really want everyone to pray this prayer with me. And why everyone, Pastor? Because this is just a prayer that I believe we all should make. I actually pray this prayer every single day, and I just think it's a good prayer to pray. And so in the room and online, repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. Tell him you have nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with you. Now, I boldly declare this. Say, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done in the hearts of the believers. Father, I also thank you for those that feel a connection to WLCC. Maybe the Holy Spirit has been tugging on your heart about joining our ministry. Maybe you've been here, you know, once or twice, or maybe you've been here 14 or 15 times. It doesn't matter, because if you're here, you're family to us. But there is something called the power of connection. That Elisha would have never been the man of God he was without Elijah in his life. That so many people in the Word of God would not be, Joshua would not be the person that God called him to be without Moses. And so in the same way, I believe in the power of connection, that as you make a decision saying, you know what, this is where I need to be, this is where I need to get connected to, because it's important that every believer is a part of a local assembly. The Bible teaches us that we are to be planted in the house of the Lord, and those that are planted in the house of the Lord are the ones that flourish. That's the Word of God. And so it's the will of God, number one, that you give your life to Jesus. But number two, it's the will of God that you get connected to a local church where you can come and learn God's word, where you can have community so iron can sharpen iron, that people can strengthen and help encourage you, where you can come and have a place to give and a place to serve so you can see God do amazing things in your life. And so, Father, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus for those under the sound of my voice, whether it be online or in this room, that need to take the next steps to join this church and to come through membership class. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that they will make that decision today, that we'll see them in membership class soon, and their life is going to keep getting better and better and better. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise. Are you glad you came to church at 10 at 9 o'clock in the morning? Amen.